I'm excited to live for Jesus Christ. What an awesome life, amen. We don't have to do it. We want to do it. Anybody can live like the world. That's why so many are doing it. But it takes somebody with fortitude and courage to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. If you turn with me tonight in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verse 7 through 14. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye shall do, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye into the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. See what that saying is telling us? To enter into the straight gate. There's a straight gate, and there's a wide one. And many there be which go in thereat. Which way do most people go in? The wide gate. Because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Heavenly Father, right now, God, I ask that you speak through your servant tonight. Speak, Lord, to every heart and ear in this place tonight. Let your will be done. We need you, God, and we pray that you will touch and move and speak to every hearer tonight. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight, Satan's manipulating lies. Satan's manipulating lies. You can be seated. Without a doubt, the most unpopular of all Christian beliefs is the doctrine of hell. People don't want to believe in hell. A man by the name of Brenton Russell, he's an atheist, and he said this, "Why I am not a Christian." He said, "There is one very serious defect to my mind in Christ's moral character. And that is, he believed in hell. I do not myself feel any person who is really profoundly humane can believe in everlasting punishment." What a belief. Amen? You see, folks, we serve a holy God. Amen? You can read about it in Isaiah 6 and Revelations 4. He is a holy God. And before we address the statement that a loving God would not send anyone to hell, we need to look at it, break it down. And it is interesting that when this statement is made, that the adjective loving is always used to describe God. Amen? It is true that God is a God of love. And Scripture teaches us that God is love, and so He can never act out of His love. We must be careful not to define God or His love with our Americanized ideas. The American description of love is some feeling that is passive in nature. It's never abrasive. It is very touchy-feely. Hollywood does a good job of getting people to think certain ways. The American idea of God is grandfatherly type that is nothing more than a yes man who wants to meet every desire that you have. Folks, this is not the love and the God of the Bible. Come on. God is perfect in his holiness. And first, God is holy. You see, holiness is God's basic character. Isaiah, John the Revelator described God's holiness in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting high upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. In Revelation 4, verse 8, and the four beasts had such, each of them, six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, I think it's interesting that the angels were not saying, Love, love, love. They were not saying, good, good, good. But they were saying, holy, holy, holy. Amen? You see, folks, from God's holiness flows his other attributes. Because God is holy, he loves us with a perfect love. Amen? God's perfect love demonstrates God's holiness. Praise the Lord. And because God's love, God loves us with a perfect love, he gives us freedom of the will or the ability to choose. That's an awesome, holy God. Amen. He gives us the ability because God gives us freedom of will. Praise the Lord. He gives us freedom to receive or to reject him. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, here it is, choose life that both you and thy seed may live. Amen. In Joshua 24, 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice, folks. Now, because God is holy, he is also just in all decisions. You see, God's perfect justice protects God's holiness. Come on. You see, because God is just, he must perfectly judge between right and wrong. Because God must judge between right and wrong, he must issue just and fair judgments for our choices. Heaven, life. Hell, destruction. In 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Ezekiel 33 and 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? You see, hell, folks, understand this today. If you don't understand anything else, hell was created for Satan and the rebellious demons. It wasn't created for mankind. It was created for him, the Satan, and his rebellious demons. Amen. In Matthew 25, 41, then shall ye say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Man who decides to follow, who rejects and who rebels against God, chooses, folks, instead to follow the God of this world, who is Satan. I want to ask, are you letting the devil guide your life? The greatest mistake you can make with evil is to underestimate its power and its influence. Amen? The greatest mistake you can make is to, with evil, is to underestimate it. Underestimate its power, underestimate its influence. You see, it's true, evil will never be able to win over the power of God. It isn't powerless. You hear me? You see, the devil is active, and he is working to take hold of your entire life. Satan has many strongholds in the lives of many people today, even Christians. You see, it's harming them. It's wrecking their spiritual life. It's contaminating the life of their family, and it also contaminates the church. And the enemy uses, folks, the strongholds to war against God and his work. Jesus himself even talked about Satan and discussed his power and wanted to us to recognize something, just how manipulating the enemy can be. Folks, the devil is working on manipulating you, but you can stop him. You can stop him. You see, one of the ways he manipulates you is by feeding your ego. Come on. Arrogance can creep in so easily. Anyone can start getting a big ego. But the most common is due to success. And those who are successful in work or at home, they often can forget where they originally came from. You ever meet anybody like that? Got a little successful and they kind of forgot about you. It is very easy to humble yourself when you feel like you're falling or you're failing. But when things go well, it is easy to take all the credit. We forget to thank God for his blessings in our lives. Instead, we focus on ourselves. And what that does, it leaves a space for Satan to come in. And folks, he will continue to encourage you to inflate your ego and think you are better than others. You see, in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul shares the knowledge that puffs up with love, while love builds up. See, we are not any better than any others because we are successful or because we are knowledgeable. We have to keep that in mind. That's why, you know, education is a good thing, but education can be very hurtful. We're no better than anybody else. And another way the enemy comes in to get you is by convincing you to sin. Satan will manipulate you by convincing you that sins are not really that bad. You will start to think things like, well, it will only be one time. This isn't that big of a deal. Well, nobody's really looking. And when you give in, even if it's only once, it can begin to push you down a slippery slope. Folks, there's no way to justify actions. Hear me today. There's no way to justify actions that go against God. No way. You can try to smooth it away and convince yourself and talk to yourself and tell you how it's not all that bad. But I'm telling you, when something goes against God, there's no way to excuse it away. C.S. Lewis said, in the steadfast road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, and without signposts. The safest road to hell. Satan also tries to take you down and manipulate you by telling you to wait on things. Everything is in perfect in God's timing. And folks, it's important to wait for God's direction. But one way the devil can manipulate Christians or people is by convincing them that opportunities, they're not passing you by. There'll be plenty of time. You can hold off. See, the Lord may be trying to speak to you, and he may be trying to lay out what he wants you to do in your life. But you aren't making any moves because Satan is telling you it's not actually a sign. Satan, folks, will manipulate you and tell you you aren't ready or you aren't good enough. Come on. Satan will feed you into the fear, all the fears that will hold you back. He knows what makes you tick. And he will feed those things to you. And these things will hold you back. This causes people to stay inactive and to lose momentum to reach the goals that God has set out for you. He's a liar, folks. He's manipulating you. Don't believe him. When God is knocking on your door, that's a time. I believe in windows of time. And we need to take advantage of them. Another thing that the enemy does to manipulate people is making comparisons. You see, people oftentimes on that lousy social media, you see someone else often made up lavish life. And many times people see that and wish that you had the same. And therefore you're never happy with life. If only I could have what Susie has. She's so blessed. She's so lucky. Look at John over there. Look what he's got. Look at the cars he's driving. I'm telling you, folks, most often that stuff is made up. They're putting out there what they want you to believe. Now, you might even look right over to your neighbors and see the things that they have in their house. Or the seemingly perfect marriage that so-and-so has. And you may have seen all this stuff and felt that your life isn't that great. If you only had what they had. If I could only be like them. Satan is messing with you. He's manipulating you. He's making you make comparisons. You compare your career income. You compare your status with those of your same peer group and co-workers. Or you think yourself that your life is terrible in comparison to all of your friends, folks. Many people have this perception that the grass is greener in the yard over on the other side of the fence. And it's better than your own. And Satan is convincing you of that. You see, he wants us to feel terrible about ourselves. And that our lives are actually terrible. And they're not even worth living. He's a liar. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of it. And he also manipulates people and degrading your self-worth. Come on, let me tell you this right now. God doesn't make mistakes. He wants you to degrade yourself and say you're not worth living. He's a liar. For many Christians, they felt guilty after they have committed sin. And no one likes to get God down. But sometimes, folks, we can be a little too hard on ourselves. And you might say to yourself, I already messed up. I'm a failure. I might as well just keep on sinning. You see, the devil wants you to hate yourself and feel terrible about all the actions that you've made. Come on. Instead of seeing yourself the way God sees you, someone that is worthy of love and respect and forgiveness, Satan will tell you that you are worthless, that you are inadequate, and you're not good enough for God. Remember, he's a liar. You feel discouraged. You feel self-pity will begin to grow in your life. And you feel that there is no way out. And that this is how things will always be. And that everything is your fault. And living in a state of self-pity means that you don't need anyone to take you out of your game. Amen. Because you have taken yourself out. Satan can sometimes creep into our lives, folks, without our conscious knowledge. And folks, by spending time with the Lord and understand that difference between evil and good, and can more easily recognize, it will help us to more easily recognize the evil when it comes around our life. If you don't recognize Satan's strategies, it's hard to defeat them. Come on. It's hard to defeat them. In Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, man who rejects and rebels against God chooses instead to follow the god of this world. And that is Satan. Man who rejects God receives the same judgment as the one he chooses to follow. A man by the name of G.K. Creston said this, hell is God's great compliment for the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human choice. Let's stand tonight. A man by the name of Dr. Jimmy Milken said, no person who ever gets to heaven will be able to point his finger at himself and say, look what I have done to get me into heaven. No person who ever finds himself in hell will be able to point his finger at God and say, you sent me to hell. You see, folks, we have a choice. You can choose to live for God. You can allow the enemy to manipulate you and take you down like he's taken so many down before. Or you can choose to say, I'm not going to believe that lie. I'm not going to let him manipulate me.